Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. You've all caught me very much by surprise. I should have my theme song here already queued up, shouldn't I? I don't. I'll explain why in a minute, but here it is. Let's listen to it now.
Good evening, and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute, and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Okay. Now, as I started to say earlier before I was so rudely interrupted, hi. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me here this evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. And the reason for that little bauble there at the beginning is that I'm afraid I have let my Skype account kind of dwindle a bit. I'm one of those guys who drives the car until the gas needle is below E, and the little light is on, and a little bell is chiming away saying, come on, you got to put some gas in me, you got to put some gas in me. And I'm, you know, kind of waving the car back and forth the way the NASCAR drivers do to try and get that last little bit of juice out of it. See, that's me. So what's happened is I've run my Skype account almost down to the end. And I believe now the Blog Talk took me a little bit by surprise here, and they took a chunk right off the top of my account before they even started decounting. So we'll have to keep an eye on it. I think I'm going to make it through the show, but we'll see. I should get pretty close at any rate. And I don't know why I'm going to have to buy minutes for next week, and I'm not going to have any more money next week than I have this week. So I don't know why, you know, leave it deteriorate all the way to the bottom. Deteriorate's not the right word. What word am I looking for? Well, anyway, I didn't add any minutes to my Skype account. And now I may pay the price, as may you, my listeners, although you'll have to decide what kind of a price that is to pay, not hearing the last two or three minutes of my show in a week. So, here we are, one more time. Thanks again, once again, for tuning in. I'm back at home. I'm going to be here for a little bit yet. I have a couple weeks of my temporary job left before I'm hurled into the void. I spent some time with my social worker this week. She's telling me, okay, we're going to sign up for this, we're going to sign up for this, we're going to sign up for this. So I am going to be a full-fledged full-fledged drain on the resources of my more productive capitalist brothers and sisters, at least until another opportunity comes along. So I'm signing up for everything they got, and we'll see what happens. And I will, of course, keep you up to date on how that process is going. I would say I also had a couple of nibbles on the job front since last I spoke to you. I did speak to someone from the department at Ohio State where I used to work. It wasn't someone that I knew. I think it was a graduate student. She asked me some questions from a script. And the main hang-up in this little bitty interview she did with me was I didn't have my materials with me. I really wasn't quite sure which job she was talking about, because I have interviewed for, or have applied, well, since the beginning of the year, I probably applied for 20 or 30 jobs at Ohio State. At the time I talked to her, I had 8 applications active. So I wasn't sure. I was at my parents' house. I hadn't been expecting to be caught up in an interview. I figured if I did get a call, I would have a couple, 3 days warning before I had to come back and do the interview, and I would have time to stop by my apartment because I'd have to pick up my suit, and then I could get into my materials and familiarize myself with everything before I had to sit down with the interview person. But no, I did not have an opportunity to do that, so I had to kind of wing it, and I have not heard back from them. So I don't know whether I blew it in my winging it, or whether they're going through a large number of candidates and haven't weeded their way through it. Or, you know, maybe they just don't like me. I mean, maybe the The fact that I used to work in the department did not weigh in my favor, or perhaps it weighed against me. You just never know. And that's what's frustrating about the process. It's not all about your qualifications. There are times when I think it's less about your qualifications and more about your timing and about whether the people you talk to like you. And those are things that are not in the control of the interviewee. And so it makes it makes them extremely difficult to prepare for. I know I'm saying this from my point of view. I know there are people who think that job interviewing is just a whiz-bang kind of process. You know, how is it that you have trouble with this? You know, you're not approaching it with the right attitude. The axiom of brokenness coming back again. There's a blueprint for success, and if you are not successful, then you must not have followed the blueprint properly. People who are successful tend to believe that, in my experience. So I don't know. I'll probably continue to apply for a large number of jobs at Ohio State. I keep saying the name of it. I guess I'm not really doing that anymore. I've been trying to sort of stealth my location here, but I think any number of times now I have mentioned the name of the city where I live or the name of the university where I used to work. So I don't think it matters all that much. But I'm going to continue to apply there just because it's so much easier to apply there. I'm on their computer system. They already have all of my information already. I don't have to slog my way through some god-awful internet-based application, which I had to do. I had a job possibility sent to me by my employment counselor. And I was under the impression that my employment counselor was going to fill out that application for me. But it turned out she wasn't going to do it. She expected me to do it. So I sat over a period of 2 days. I managed to fight my way through this application. It is very long. It's not that it would take most people 2 days to fill it out. It takes me 2 days to fill it out because I can only work on it for 10, 15 minutes at a time, and then I got to get up and rant for a while. And then I can come back and work on it for a little bit and then get up and rant for a while, throw a few things. A few times during the process, I'm probably going to hit my computer with my fist and make it power down, and I have to figure out how to get it to power back up because the power button on my computer is broken after an episode like that. It's just the way that those kind of tasks affect me, those kind of, dare I call them, mindless tasks. Just tasks of repetition. I mean, I put together a perfectly good resume for them, and all that information is on there. 90% of the stuff that I put on an internet application is a repeat of stuff that's on my resume. Maybe there's more detail. You've asked me to put in, who was my supervisor at a job I had, 30 years ago. I got to figure that out. I can feel it rising up in me now as I talk about it. I can feel myself, and you probably noticed, I'm because I think my voice was getting louder, and my hands were moving all over the place. Of course, you can't see that. It's like I can feel my back crinkling up just at the thought of having to do this task. And it's a gatekeeper task. It's just something I have to do before I can even get in the door. It doesn't get me anywhere other than through the first hoop. It's through the first flaming hoop, and I don't even get a biscuit for it. I don't even get a treat for it. I just get to go through the hoop and to the next hoop. It's a dehumanizing process, and I hate it. I do hate it. I've gone through it lots of times in my life. My very first job I had out of college I had for 7 years, and that's the longest time I ever had one job. Never had one since, the last job I had at Ohio State I had for 4 years, and every job I had in between, I think when I taught school it was almost 4 years. But everything in between, massive amounts of, short job and then back on the market, and back filling out the applications again or dealing with a headhunter or whatever. I haven't had to do that yet. that may come into play later on. I just, and of course, it's more difficult. It's bound to be more difficult now because I'm older than I was then. It's bound to be more difficult for me to complete the tasks, and there are going to be fewer people who want me. I mean, that's a fact of life. There are going to be fewer people who want to hire me because I'm almost 50 years old. So I just got to take a deep breath and believe isn't the word I want, although it is an appropriate word. It takes me in a direction I didn't want to go. It's like, believe. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I mean. I have to, and then have faith kind of evokes the same thing. I have to affirm in my own mind that there's a job out there for me. And as I said last week, I think that that job is going to come to me in some way other than the traditional path that I'm following now. So I have to affirm, for the greatest good of all concerned, I affirm that there's a job out there for me. And I will find it when the time is right. In the meantime, I'm out of the affirmation now. In the meantime, I get to deal with all this shit that's in front of me. Affirmations have to be all positive. You can't say anything negative. Not that you can't say anything negative in an affirmation. It's just that what I've been taught is that the universe doesn't understand negation. It doesn't say, when I say I don't want this, the universe doesn't understand that. It hears what you're telling you. It's picking up the vibration of what you're thinking about. So if I'm thinking about disaster, and I'm saying in my answer, I affirm that a disaster won't happen. That's all the universe picks up on is disaster. Okay, so I have to affirm something positive. I have to affirm that I'm going to have the resources that I need. I have to affirm that I'm going to get the job that I need. I have to affirm that my book is going to be completed, and that someone will publish it for me, and that people will know about it and read it and like it. Just don't affirm the things that aren't going to happen. These are the things you have to think of, the things that are going to happen, and affirm those to the universe. And that's sort of the basis of the law of attraction as I understand it. That's for my new agey friends. What else shall we speak about? I know there's one topic I'm not going to speak about because I promised you last week that I wouldn't. But if you're just dying to hear about this forbidden topic, I did write my Monday blog about it. So you could go to mudtoesasquatch.com and have a look at the most recent blog, which will stay the most recent blog until next coming Monday, and read about it there, and then you will know everything, and I will not have broken my promise. And then you can go back and page through some of the other blogs, maybe, and write to me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of them. What do you think of the topics that I address? That's sort of practice writing for me. Occasionally, one of them becomes a story that's going to go into my book. Mostly it doesn't, but mostly it's just first of all, to make sure that I write once a week, that I write something once a week. I have to get to, if I'm going to make my date that I've set for myself of August of this year, I'm going to have to start writing every day. Unfortunately, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have that opportunity. Right now, what I'm doing right now, I think I told you, was grading standardized tests. And I do it, you can work 7 hours a day, you can work 8 hours a day. And I've worked 8 hours yesterday and today. And I'm very much on the, I have the opportunity to do it next week. And of course, if I work 8 hours a day, it's more money, plus you get a bonus at the end of the week. And I am just ripped when I get home. And I go to bed and I can't get anything else done. I as soon as I get home from my job at like 5 PM, I don't even eat dinner. I just go upstairs and I go to bed and take a nap for like 2 hours. And then I still don't feel right. And then, but then since I slept a little bit, it takes me forever to get to sleep. And then I have to respond to my alarm at 6:30 in the morning. This all raises doubts in my mind that I will be able to do this all week next week and collect the $50 bonus, which is, you know, $50 is significant to me right now. But then in the same time, it's like that the old man in that commercial who has the dollar on the end of the fishing pole, and the girl's grabbing for it, and he's like, "Oh, you almost got it!" Oh, that's kind of how I feel when I'm chasing after this bonus. Yeah, it works out to an extra $20 a day, and I mean between the bonus and the extra hour you're working. So $20 a day. I mean, sad to say, I can use that $20. I really could. Well, I've been this week successfully cutting down. The big bugaboo I've had, and I would have more money to fall back on if I had done this earlier. But you know, I enjoy eating in restaurants. I don't enjoy cooking for myself. And now we're getting into the warmer part of the year where it's difficult to cook for myself because it's very hot in the kitchen. But I'm going to have to because I just don't have the money to go out. You know, I would have an average day. I would go out at least once. I would have a meal at a restaurant. You know, not an expensive restaurant, but a restaurant every day. Sometimes I'd eat both of my major meals, and you know, lunch and dinner in a restaurant. I'd seldom get out for breakfast. But and you know, sometimes a week or two or more would go by, and my kitchen would need to get used. So, I mean, I see this as a major need area. This is something I really needed to address, and that has started this week. Not 100% compliance just yet. The idea is that I would save one restaurant visit for a weekend, either Friday or Saturday dinner. And I didn't quite get there. But next week I will sort of get there. Technically, I will get there because I'm going. I've already made arrangements to meet a friend for dinner on Thursday, and I'm also going out on Friday. But I'm not paying. It's my daughter is taking me out for Father's Day, so it's not the idea of going to dinner. It's the amount of paying for dinner is the issue. So I can go to dinner all I want if I can talk other people into paying for it. It's just if I'm pulling out the cash or the debit card myself, but I have to start worrying about my compliance. And then there's another issue too, is you're trying to keep my sugar down and my cholesterol down, and of course all the restaurant eating isn't good for that, but eating at home might not be either. I have an opportunity to choose some better foods, and I think in some ways I have. I depend a lot on pasta, and pasta is not good for blood sugar. And then the next thing after pasta is rice, and rice is not good for blood sugar. I think if there are some things that can be, you know, beans are good for blood sugar. I can bring in more of that. Just not eating as much, I can do that too. Getting rid of the sugared drinks, that's a big bugaboo, the soda pop. I love soda pop. I mean, it's going to have to be, you know, one a day kind of thing. And, you know, I blew that up today because I had lunch at Wendy's. But it's just, it takes energy and it takes discipline. And I don't have a lot of those things to spare right now. It seems like I use up all of my energy and the discipline goes with it while I'm at work. And I use all that concept to get through that day at work. It's not horrible. The work's not horrible. The people there are not cruel. They're not unkind. It's just the work is incredibly, incredibly dull. It's just you're looking at papers over the same paper over and over and over and over again. And they want us to do 1,000 a day. I'm thinking more along the lines of 800 to 900 a day to keep my sanity. And as long as that's close to the room average, and they give us all these statistics every day of how we're doing. Actually, I shouldn't have told you any of this stuff because I swore an oath of secrecy. I guess these are all trade secrets of some ilk. But anyway, I'm resolved to not let them push me too hard, because I did actually, when I was the last time I was working there last month, I did because, oh man, that was a screwed up situation too, because they couldn't get us the papers fast enough. You know, we'd do a bunch of papers real fast and then we'd run out because the people, you know, off in the other place that were scanning the papers into the computer were having trouble getting them in fast enough. So we'd do a bunch of papers and then we'd run out. But during once it finally got rolling, again, they wanted us to be doing 1,000 papers a day, and I actually did for a while, and I was frazzled. I got to tell you, I'd have a pretty good headache, usually behind one eye or the other, generally not both eyes, but usually behind one eye or the other, the headache, and kind of trembling hands. And mostly I think it came from just not stopping often enough. Just so concerned about hitting that number and stop often enough to get a salty snack, you know, replace those electrolytes or get some water or whatever to refresh myself. Just wasn't doing that and was wearing myself out. So now I'm making a concerted effort to do that, to keep water at my desk, to keep nuts or some kind of salty snack at my desk, and maybe some cheese and crackers to go with it. Cheese is good for sugar. And I think I'm hoping I'll get through it. I'm just going. I keep going because I don't have to make the choice until Monday. So I'm on the fence. You know, am I going to go for it? Am I going to go for the big prize package, or am I going to be content with the 35 hours? I don't know. Don't know. I have to tell you next week. I'll probably be half asleep next week because I'll be, if I do go for it, I'll have gone through the entire week, you know, the 40-hour week, and then I will have. I had dinner with my daughter and my granddaughter, and so I will probably be energetically and emotionally spent by the time I get to you guys. So I have to apologize for that. I would anticipate a very low energy show next week. In fact, if I don't get to Skype and buy some more minutes, there might not be a show at all. I can always do it on my cell phone, I guess. What will we talk about next week? Well, how will the world be different? We'll have a new NBA champion, maybe, new NHL champion. We won't have to worry about that for another year. Start talking about football, I guess. What else do we need to talk about? Now my nose has started running all of a sudden. You ever have that happen? I mean, you're just out of nowhere. You know, I don't have a cold or any kind of. It's not bleeding. No, it's not bleeding. That's all you find. How do you do as well? When you're just sitting there and for no reason there's blood coming out of you. No, don't have that. All right. I'm wearing my booties. I got red booties that I got at the hospital that they gave me to keep my feet warm while they were poking and prodding me and then cutting my head open. And they let me bring them home. They let me bring my booties home. And I like them because they don't need to be particularly warm right now. But what they do is they protect my feet from the floor, which is something, when you got sugar, you're supposed to watch your feet. But I have to look at my feet every night to make sure I don't have any sort of unexplained, you know, deterioration, that my feet aren't rotting off. It's basically what I have to look for. And if I see that my feet are rotting off, I have to get to the doctor. But one thing they always say is you're not supposed to walk around barefoot ever, and I'm bad about that. Yeah, I don't take the time to slip on a pair of shoes or socks or anything. But these actually are working out better for me than socks usually do, because they're like ribbed. and they grip the floor better than my socks do, so I don't slide near as bad as I just, and when I'm in my socks, they're kind of slippery, you know. You don't get maybe the traction that I would normally hope for and expect. Pardon me, Blog Talk is like feeding my words back to me. I don't know, are you guys hearing an echo? Because, as I say, I'm hearing my own voice coming back at me a little bit. Secondly, I'm interested to know when I listen to the archive tomorrow, I'll see if you guys are getting that back. I don't think I've had that before. I've heard other people's Blog Talk shows. I know there are many of them. There are thousands of them, I believe, going on at the same time. What an amazing, a democratic, small d democratic function this is. And not to do a big commercial for net neutrality, but this is the kind of thing that's going to go away it's not so much, I don't think it's a question of if anymore, it's a question of when when the internet becomes commercialized, when the bigger companies get to, now I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Must be dusty in here, so maybe I'm picking up. There's some work going on. The apartment next to me is vacant now, and there's some work going on over there. There's some painting going on and some dust coming over. Maybe that's what's causing my difficulties here. But anyway, once the big companies are able to access the internet, have sort of a priority access to the internet, it's going to become, I mean, Netflix is one of the companies that wants this, is my understanding. And they want to have priority access so their customers have access to bandwidth. What's happening is, or what will happen, is that the internet will become just like television, that the content will all be controlled by people who have the money to produce and buy the, in the case of internet, it'll be to buy the bandwidth. So you have to produce the entertainment first and then buy the bandwidth to get it on. And it's going to be the end of this sort of culture of amateur entertainment, because I wouldn't be able to. I'm not going to be able to buy the time. It doesn't cost me anything to make this show. It will eventually. Blog Talk, if they're still around, will become commercial, and the people who are a part of it will, they already need to pay, but they don't pay very much. It'll be more along the lines of what you see to get on television. So this whole sort of network of thousands of people is doing their thing here on Blog Talk and a lot of other places. I think you're going to see that disappear over time and be replaced by something that's certainly not as responsible responsible is not the word I was going to say, but it's true. Responsive is what I was going to say. Responsive to its listeners. You know what? We have come to the end of the show, and I have 22 cents to spare on my Skype account. So thank you for listening. I will endeavor to have a lot more stuff for you to listen to. I always seem to think of something, but next time you're here, I can tell you all about my week at work. I can tell you all about my day with my daughter and my granddaughter, and actually I probably won't say anything about any of those things, and I'll probably have something else. Spirit will move me to say whatever Spirit wants to move me to say, and that's where we'll be. So thanks once again for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye now. He said... Here it is. I'm looking for the little red button that ends the episode. Okay, here we go. Goodbye.